David, good morning.
Good morning, Tess.
So to start off with, just for a little bit of background, what are the copyright import restrictions Australian publishers currently are following?
Oh, well, look, there are a set of restrictions which have been in place for quite some time to provide some level of protection for the Australian publishers and authors who have their territorial copyright, which relates to Australia, and it prevents the importation of commercial quantities of books without the permission of the copyright holder. It all sounds rather complicated, and it is, in a way, like most of the things to do with copyright and the Copyright Act, but essentially what it does is that it maintains a certain level of prices. It's not exactly clear how much books are more expensive in Australia than they would otherwise be, but nevertheless there is some maintenance of price which is seen to be of benefit to Australian publishers and Australian authors.
So what would change if these import restrictions were lifted?
I think that what would change would be that the overall price of books would probably fall somewhat. There would be much more capacity to import books from overseas, and this might include, for example, large numbers of copies of Australian-written books which are published in the United States who might be offloaded into Australia. I mean, books by, say, you know, Tim Winton or somebody, or Tom Keneally or one of our writers, or it doesn't have to be a literary writer, it could be anybody, and they would be available in Australia more cheaply, and in fact it would be equivalent almost to dumping, which is a sort of a term meaning that in the trade field, which means, you know, offloading copies of volumes of cheap product when it's possible to do that, to the detriment of the local producers. And so what that would mean would be that the local authors and would lose their royalties on those sorts of things. And generally speaking, there would be, you know, it would be opening up the book market in a sense, but it would also be opening it up to quite large numbers of imports of books which we can still get them, but we have to get them by a more slightly more circuitous route. And so it's a means of maintaining some form of protection for the local industry. And the recognition of that, I mean, the reason why that's there is because it's been recognised that Australian-produced books and Australian writers contribute something to Australian culture, and that's that is something which justifies some level of support.
Now, you've spoken before about the fact that some believe that books should have the cultural exception. Could
Yes.
you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, look, that's something which applies in international trade generally, and it arose actually in the 1940s, I mean a long while ago, when the world trading sort of architecture was being set up with the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades, and what was being argued then, particularly by the French, was that French cinema is a sort of delicate flower, and if you open up the market for films, the whole French market will be swamped by Hollywood. And that will mean that the French film industry won't be able to survive. And that argument was accepted at the time, and it was accepted that there was something different about cultural products like movies and books and so on that made them different from just ordinary commercial merchandise. And so in the whole era of opening up international trade for sort of free trade, which is what the world we live in, at least we used to live in until Donald Trump was elected, but nevertheless we're supposed to live in a world of free trade. Nevertheless, it was thought that there was some justification for safeguarding. I think the word safeguarding is probably better than protection, because protection means something rather nasty for economists. But the safeguarding of local cultural expressions, like you know, local film industries and so on. And so the same argument can be made in relation to books in the Australian context, that you know, they're a sort of precious flower that needs to be nurtured, and so some sort of support is warranted.
Now, you've also discussed that one of the best actions in this circumstance would be to remove the import restrictions and actually replace them with an equivalent level of protection through fiscal channels.
Yeah, the argument for that would be to say that, you know, the parallel import restrictions are a pretty blunt instrument, and that they sort of, you know, they benefit everybody. And some people have pointed out quite rightly that, you know, the beneficiaries of this could include sort of large multinational overseas publishers and so on, rather than the local authors and local publishers. And so if you want to support the local industry, it's probably better to be targeting some support to directly to where the benefits are created, and that would be particularly Australian authors and Australian publishers. And so what would be one way of dealing with this situation would be to remove the import restrictions, but replace them with an equivalent level of support for the industry in recognition of its cultural importance. I mean, the cultural importance of the book industry is indeed recognised. I mean, there's no doubt that Australian books and Australian writers contribute a huge amount to Australian culture, the definition of our culture and the exploration of our identity and all that sort of stuff. That's all quite seriously understood, and I think there's enough support in the government and in the Productivity Commission for the fact that that's true to mean that they would be in favour of some form of support. And indeed, there is support already for the book industry and for books through, say, the Australia Council for the Arts, which supports writers and so on. But the argument would be, if you remove the parallel import restrictions, you need to replace them with, they're going to lose a level of protection. So if you're going to support the industry for cultural reasons, you need to replace them with some form of cultural support. And that would mean direct fiscal support, meaning subsidy or grants, if you like, to writers and maybe to publishers, to small independent publishers who are publishing Australian works, for example. That these are ones who could benefit from grants, and so there would be a program of that sort of support. Now, the real argument, that's a fine argument in principle, but it doesn't really work in practice, because the government is in a situation of budget stringency, as we're in at the moment, trying to cut public expenditure. The idea that they would suddenly leap in and put in a new program of support for the book industry, which involved a budgetary cost, it's not really very likely. And in fact, it's not all that long ago that the government withdrew a substantial funding for the book industry by abolishing the Book Council. They'd set up a Book Council to do more or less this sort of thing, you know, to support the industry and to encourage cultural production and so on. And they, just before it had met, it had all been set up under the then Arts Minister, Senator Brandis, and but it hadn't met yet, and then the government just decided to abolish it. And so, you know, the idea that they would now suddenly turn around and give money to support the book industry just doesn't make much sense. So my suggestion is, look, the easiest thing out of all of this is to leave things as they are, which is, in fact, the way in which governments for the last, 30 years have responded, because there have been these recommendations have come up, regularly in the last 30 years from Productivity Commission and elsewhere, saying abolish the parallel import restrictions. And every time it's come to the government, they've thought about it and said, oh, no, look, we'd rather just leave things as they are. And they do. And that's the way they've decided in the past. And I think they should do the same thing again.
And I think that is a very strong note to leave it on. David, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Okay, thanks for having me. Thanks, Tess. Bye.